Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going.
Hello, everyone, and God bless you. This is Susan Puzio. And this is the Prophetic News broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. I want to welcome everybody today. We have a special guest, the author of The Tithing Hoax. And we will be discussing tithing, what is tithing, what was tithing, are New Testament Christians compelled to tithe, otherwise God will curse you. What is that all about? Anyway, we're going to find out the truth, and we want to base everything that we do upon the Word of God, because that is our guidebook, and that's the only thing, the only source of truth for us. So as Christians, we know that we are supposed to be givers. We have the greatest example of a giver in the Father God, who He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and He gave because He loved, and that should be our motive for everything that we do, not because we're afraid of God, we're afraid to be cursed. Really, it's a bunch of foolishness, but anyway, I'm going to bring my guest on, and we're going to talk about The Tithing Hoax today. Hi, Renee. How are you?
Hi, Susan. How are you doing?
Good. God bless you.
Thank you. Can you hear me fine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
good.
I can.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
I'm very happy to have you on today, because I feel like this is a very important subject, something that has been Really, when you look at so many Bible teachers and so many books and so many Christian television programs, and how people are really ignorant of the Word of God, it is really amazing that this one subject particularly is a source of so much error. And how did you come to write this book, The Tithing Hoax?
Well, actually, I started this book several years ago, and I often watched preachers on television and listened to them on the radio, and I noticed there was a great deal of emphasis being placed on tithing. And in listening to some of these preachers, I noticed that something about their teachings on tithing, that there was something just wasn't right. You know, I just, in my spirit, I said, what this preacher is saying is not correct. And so from that point, I proceeded with researching and studying the topic for the topic of tithing for myself. And what I found was there was a clear distinction between what many of these preachers were teaching and saying about tithing versus what the Bible actually said.
Yeah, what the Bible actually said.
Tithing. So what they were teaching and preaching did not line up with Scripture.
Yeah.
So out of my research and study, I just compiled that information and put it in this book, The Tithing Hoax. So
Now I've been saved, born again, for about 30 years. And it took me about 15 years before I actually studied it for myself. I was a regular tither. Oh, I was afraid God would curse me and He wouldn't bless me if I didn't give Him that 10%. Oh, I was always so afraid.
Oh,
and I didn't I didn't find that I was really, getting all the finances and everything that I was supposed to be getting because I was tithing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also found that in churches, people were so kind of like hypnotized to tithing that they couldn't think about helping anybody else because they felt so compelled to give this 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And it really wasn't an act of love.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It was manipulation, and myself too. I said I'm going to go on a search and search out all the scriptures on giving and seed faith, this whole seed faith thing, and tithing. And I found the same thing. I found out myself that tithing was food,
right.
Which I found very interesting because I never heard any pastor or teacher teaching it.
Right. They would always equate tithing with money. It was money,
right.
Money, according to their misinterpretation of scriptures.
So did you ever find, I never found one scripture that ever associated tithing with money.
No, I mean, the biblical tithe was 10%, because the word, tithe means 10%, and the biblical tithe was 10% of ancient Israel's agricultural produce. So it was vegetables, fruits, grains, wines and things, cattle and things of that nature. It was anything that the people could consume. And you cannot consume money. And contrary to
Oh, don't eat your seed. Remember, like they tell you, don't eat your seed.
Right.
Yeah, well, no, I've never seen anybody eat a $1 bill. I mean, who would want to?
Right. And and that's one of the false teachings that we wanted to correct and let people know that the biblical tithe did not consist of money, and many of these preachers always want to equate that with money, and they will make the argument that, well, there wasn't a monetary system at that time, so that's why they had to use agriculture. But once again, when we searched the scriptures, I found that there was a monetary system, and that in ancient times they used silver and gold coins, and they used this to make purchases. So
yes,
there was a monetary system. So if God actually wanted money, then God in the scriptures would have commanded, well, pay 10% in coins, pay 10% in silver and whatnot. But God did not command that. God strictly commanded that the tithe be paid from agricultural produce.
Yes, also what I found was when they were talking about silver and gold, they put it in the context of a free will offering.
Right. Mhm. Mhm. Mhm.
So I heard Joyce Meyer the other day. She had, the lady that assists her. They were answering questions from people, and so they were asking about, well, is the tithe for a New Testament, and I was really surprised at Joyce's ignorance, because she's a Bible teacher, she claims to be a Bible teacher, but yet she didn't research it herself, and kind of they get this attitude where, oh, well, why would we even care about what tithing is, whether it's food or money or whatever? We have to give. We know we're supposed to give.
Right.
I mean, any born again Christian that has the Spirit of God in us, we know that we're supposed to help people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it has, but I find that there's a lot of politics involved with tithing.
Yes.
For instance, when I was preaching in churches, you were afraid to talk about it. When I found out about it, at first I was afraid to talk about it because I knew if I told the truth about tithing or seed faith, they weren't going to invite me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the pastors didn't like it if you told people the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're afraid of. but well, they didn't want you to tell the truth about tithing or feed faith.
I know what they're afraid of.
Yeah.
They're afraid of people will stop tithing their money.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
So, you know, it's tithing is a, how should we say?
It's a business.
It's a business. It's a money making venture. So when we start preaching the truth about tithing, now you're getting into the pastor's pocket.
Yes.
And they don't want to. They don't want anyone messing with their money.
No.
And I'm saying, wait a minute. If you're a preacher, you're a preacher of the gospel. You're supposed to be preaching the truth. You're supposed to be standing on truth.
Yes.
Your primary concern is making sure your pockets stay full, making sure you maintain your financial gain, even if at the expense of lying to God's people. You will lie for money? Something's wrong with that picture.
Yeah, something's wrong with that picture. I agree, because I found that when I really got set free from that whole bondage I was in about tithing and having to bring it to the storehouse, which was the church where I was being fed,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I was brainwashed with all that stuff. When I finally searched the scriptures for myself and I found out the truth, I really realized what real faith was, how truly we are dependent on God to meet our needs,
mm-hmm.
and that the Bible says, ask and you shall receive,
mm-hmm.
and how much better it was for me, and how I saw God meet my needs supernaturally.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to bribe him.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's pretty much what this whole tithing doctrine, as I call it, amounts to. It's like you're paying God for a blessing. You're paying God for a breakthrough. If I just pay God this 10%, you know, all these wonderful things are going to happen to me, and I can avoid curses and things of this nature. And like you said, foolishness is foolishness, and it's also very sad and unfortunate, because people are being taken advantage of, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, or co-authored this book, because it's just something that stirs up in me. I hate to see people being taken advantage of, especially in the name of God.
Yes.
And it's just completely unexcusable. You know,
yes.
It's just like you mentioned about the scripture, ask and it shall be given. It didn't say tithe and it shall
no.
be given. You know.
No.
And also in your introduction, you made a point about giving out of love. And that's the difference between the Old Testament tithing and New Testament giving. Giving is it comes out of a generous spirit. It comes out of your love for God and love for others. Whereas
yes.
tithing is it's really a work of flesh. It's something
yes.
that you do because you have to do it.
Yes. There's no love there. It's
no love. Absolutely, it's no love.
No, there's
and
no
love
there. And also, it's like the scripture in Corinthians where it says that you don't give out of necessity,
mm-hmm.
not because you have to.
Right.
God loves a cheerful giver.
Mm-hmm.
So, now there was no joy in my paying my 10% all those years, and I was afraid not to because
mm-hmm.
I was so afraid I would be cursed. But then when I finally read Malachi in context,
mm-hmm.
and I found out exactly what Malachi 3 was all about, and that whole chapter of Malachi, God wasn't talking to the people that didn't tithe.
Right, right, right. It was actually a rebuke of the religious leaders, the Levitical.
They were the ones that were robbing the tithe.
They were the ones who were robbing, exactly. You know, but in the hands of these tithing doctrine preachers and these prosperity gospel preachers, they will beat the people over the head with Malachi. You know how?
Oh yeah, that's their favorite one.
Oh, they, and And an important thing, like you said, is that you read the scriptures for yourself. And what is not happening is that the people, they go to church Sunday after Sunday, and the people are very dependent on the preachers.
Yes.
And so it's almost like whatever the preacher says about the Bible, it must be true, it must be accurate. And people
yes.
have to be aware that preachers don't know everything about the Bible. I don't know everything about the Bible.
No.
I claim to. So sometimes you have to kind of take what preachers say at face value, knowing they don't know everything. And you have to take the time to study and show thyself approved.
Yes, amen.
You have to take the time to read for yourself and understand for yourself. Because if you are so dependent on a preacher, and if this preacher is not knowledgeable about certain aspects of the Bible, and if the preacher is incorrect, then what you believe is also incorrect.
Yes, that's what I found.
I
was amazed that it took me so long, because I had listened to all the preachers. I had listened to my pastor, and I believed it. I didn't really take the time to finally what I did was I took 3 months. I probably was about 1995, 1996. And I looked up every single scripture on tithing, giving, offerings, first fruits.
Mm-hmm.
I studied and studied and studied, and I found out the truth for myself. But I found that when I would try to share with my friends, they would get very angry.
Mm-hmm.
They would get upset with me, because I said, well, study it for yourself. If you'll take the time to do what I did, you'll find out the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's all there. It's all in God's Word. There was a scripture that I thought was so interesting, because I don't ever hear anyone. I mean, there probably are some people like yourself and myself, and there are some others, but you don't ever hear anyone on television talking about Deuteronomy 14, where God says that verse 23, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God
mm-hmm.
in the place he shall choose,
mm-hmm.
place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and thy flocks. Well, there he is telling you that you can eat your tithe.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, in verse 26 of Deuteronomy 14, and thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling us there that if you couldn't get to the place to bring your food, that you could sell it, and then you could take the money and you can buy whatever you wanted with it. Well, you never hear anybody telling you that.
No, I mean, that's what happens, because many of these preachers, and part of the manipulation and part of the deception is taking scriptures out of context and carefully selecting those scriptures that fit into their particular doctrine, whether it's the tithe doctrine or the prosperity gospel doctrine. And that's the manipulation of not only the scriptures, but it's the manipulation of the people. And the thing is,
they know
their congregations are not going to go back and actually take the time and read for themselves.
No, so, most people won't, but that's exactly the word, is the manipulation, because the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're pastoring a church, or you have a ministry where you're traveling or whatever you're doing, preaching, and you can't trust God to meet your needs,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's sin. You can't just, you know, go there on Sunday and beat people over the head and tell them they have to give 10% or the church is going to close down or whatever. If you can't trust God to meet your needs, then you don't have any business pastoring a church or having any kind of a ministry. You just might as well close the place down,
mm-hmm.
Because they can't – they can't operate unless they preach this, give me your 10%, and this is the storehouse, and you have to give your 10% to where you're getting fed. Well, I found out that I could feed myself after I grew up in the Lord, that I was no longer a baby, so I could feed myself if I had to. I wasn't dependent on another human being to feed me the Word of God. But they like to keep, it's amazing how grown adults will allow themselves to be treated like children.
Yes, yes. And you hit the nail right on the head, because with these type of teachings, this Thai doctrine and whatnot, it really stunts the spiritual growth.
Yes.
Of God's people. We're, you know, supposed to be moving from glory to glory. And if you are a preacher and you're in that pulpit, that is part of your responsibility, is to give the people what they need scripturally to move to that next level of spiritual growth. But if you keep tying people to this tithe doctrine, which doesn't even apply to Christians, and you're really holding people to the Old Testament, and you're holding them to, once again, scriptures that do not really pertain to Christians, especially, you know, New Testament Christians. You know, the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament was to mark a level of spiritual maturity and growth for God's people. And by not teaching accordingly, then the many of these preachers are guilty of keeping God's people in a state of spiritual immaturity.
Yes, spiritual immaturity. It amazes me too, because the way I looked at it was, in the Old Testament, God had to have this law about giving the tenth of their food and putting it in a storehouse, which was an actual building where food was stored, because the unregenerated person is not a giver by nature.
Right.
So I felt like God had to compel them to give. But as New Testament believers, as born-again people that have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, the giver, the greatest giver of all, that should be our nature to give.
Nature. Exactly.
Yes.
The nature.
And to love, because if the church is truly in every county in this country, we're taking that 10% and doing feeding, clothing, housing, there wouldn't be a hungry person in this country. There wouldn't really be a homeless person, but we don't really see too much of that.
No, what we see quite a bit of is preachers, some preachers who are living very, shall we say, lavish lifestyles. You know, they have private jets and they have the mansions and, you know, the luxury vehicles. It's like, okay, but even if you want to preach tithing, okay, well, what does the scripture say about tithing in terms of who receives the tithes? What was the tithes used for? They were used to take care of the widows. They were used to take care of the fatherless. They were used to take care of the poor people. They were used to take care of the strangers in the land. So just like you said, you know, where is the, you know, help the people who need it.
Yes.
And what's also unfortunate is that many of the people, and I found in my research, many of the people, Christians who pay tithes, are people who are low to moderate income, on the low to moderate income level. In other words, it's the people who are least able to pay tithes, so-called tithes, and these are the people who are paying the tithes.
Yes. Well, even in some of the churches that I attended, they would tell people, well, you know, you, even if you can't pay your rent or your food bill or your light bill, you have to give God his first.
Mm-hmm.
As if God was some kind of a monster.
Mm-hmm.
That your children couldn't have the food they wanted, and you couldn't pay your rent. You had to bring your 10% there to the church. You know, when you think about it, it's really bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
This whole concept of God being angry at people because they don't give him money. Like, what is God going to do with money anyway? You know, he doesn't need any money. He's done fine without it.
Thank you. You know, it's sad, and it's foolish, you know. It's just incomprehensible that, like, how come people don't get it? How come so many Christians don't?
Yeah, isn't it really?
Because
it's so simple.
Because with the whole tithing topic, in my research and reading through the Bible, I'm like, this is a very simple, straightforward topic. Tithing is very simple and straightforward. It's a straightforward concept. But when you're dealing with false teachers, and they know how to take a little bit of the truth, and they mix it with a great deal of scriptural misinterpretations and
yes,
scriptures out of context, and they can take something that's very simple and straightforward and can really confuse the whole topic. And
yes, they've done a very good job with it. I must say that it is.
They've done a masterful job.
Yeah.
of really
masterful. No, that's the perfect way to describe it.
Because, and then when you share the truth with Christians, and say, well, you know, this is what the Bible actually says and means when it talks about tithing. Like you said, you experienced people get angry.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They attack you and call
yes.
you a liar. And I'm like,
yes.
Because I've had that experience. You know, I have YouTube videos up, and, you know, people have made those comments. You don't know what you're talking about, or you're a false,
yeah.
you're a prophet. And I'm like, everything that is in this book and everything I put in my YouTube videos is, you know, supported by the Bible. Is that we come from a biblical standpoint.
Yes.
So I'm not, you know, this is not a book full of my opinions.
I amen to that. And we want to, we just have about 2 minutes left on this program, but I sure would like to have you back, because I didn't want to do a whole hour today, because I thought I wanted to kind of go slow on this topic so that they could think about it. And then come back again, and we can go over. I'd like to have you back again, and we can go over more of the scriptures
mm-hmm.
and point people then to the scriptures that we talked about, and there's so many others. So,
mm-hmm.
I, you know, we did this program today, and Renee has this book, The Tithing Hoax. And what is the website where they can go and purchase this book?
Yes, our website is thetithinghoax.com, and you can visit the website, and we have various purchasing options available, and also our contact information is on there. And you can also go to amazon.com and purchase The Tithing Hoax. But
and also on YouTube, what is your YouTube channel?
It's whatever the YouTube, what is the address? youtube.com/your tithe expert.
Okay, your tithe expert.
Expert. Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like to go and see Renee's YouTube videos, that's how I found her on YouTube. And, you know, I said, that's my sister there, because I knew she did her homework. And I would encourage you to get the book, because you know, maybe you can't spend, like I did, 3 months of your time looking up every scripture. That's why people write books.
Mm-hmm.
They put everything in a book so that you'll have it to look at, and then you can do your homework,
right.
go over the notes. But I encourage all of you out there to read the Word of God for yourself. Be a cheerful giver. Give out of love. Let your motive be love. Let it not be selfishness. Let it not be that you want something, that's why you're giving. Nobody likes to be treated like that. Why would you think God likes to be treated like that, that we only do things and we only give because we want something back? I you know, to tell you the truth, I hate when people do that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not Christianity. It's not the way that we should present ourselves to the world. Let's have a reformation. Let's have a revolution of the real love of God. And that's why my sister and myself, why we do these programs, why we're on YouTube, because we love people and we want to see Jesus Christ lifted up. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank you for being here with me today. And I want to have you back again. I will be emailing you.
Okay, okay.
Maybe next week if you have. If you have the time free, we can do it the same time next week for 30 minutes. And we can do a little Bible study and
mm-hmm.
present all the listeners with the proper scriptures so that they
yeah.
can be blessed. And
yeah.
I want to thank you so much for coming on today. And you're a great blessing. Keep up the wonderful work that you're doing.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So can you be with us next week? Same time?
Yes. As far as I know, my schedule is clear.
Okay.
Exactly.
If anything comes up, let me know. And
yeah.
we will have Renee on next week again at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. That's Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Blog Talk Radio. So we'll be talking with you next week.
Okay. Thank you.
God bless.
Okay. Peace and blessings.
Yes. Thank you. All right, everybody, I want to thank you for tuning in today. And, you know, it's much better to trust God for what you need, to live in that peace of knowing that God will meet all your needs according to His riches and glory. And He is a gracious Father. He's a giving Father. He knows what you need. You don't have to bribe Him. You don't have to pay Him off. Just ask Him today. Also, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, give your life to Jesus today. He loves you. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city. Set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.